I would try jumping up here if everyone wasn't here watching. I think I could do it. Scripture reading is 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Dear children, this is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went from us, but they did not. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For had they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But by their going, showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also remain in the Son and in the Father.
Whenever we look at Jesus talking to different people, he uses a different tactic and talks about different things, all leading to the same point, the same truth, but his method changes depending on who he's speaking with. He talks one way to the Pharisees, another way to the woman taken in adultery, and another way to the Samaritan woman. Whenever you look at Paul preaching in Acts chapter 17, he has one group that he's talking to in the beginning and teaching the Jews, and he reasons a different way with the Gentiles later on in the same chapter. And what we learn from that is the method, not the message, changes. But we also see that teachers of the truth would consider their audience. And one thing, as I was considering our audience this morning, that I decided to do was change the lesson that I'm giving. And so the lesson that I had ready for last week, you're going to hear that scripture reading again next week. But I'm sure you'll agree with me, especially the group that's here, that it's not going to hurt us to hear a scripture reading twice. And in fact, whenever you read through something several times, you tend to get more out of it. But we're talking about something different today. We're talking about something different today because I'm trying to take my audience into account. One of our great brethren mentioned to me after I mentioned on a sermon a few Sundays ago about how if everybody just came all the time, I wouldn't have to think about when I was preaching what sermon. Because I have heard before, several times, that would have been a good sermon for the morning, or that would have been a good sermon to have heard last week, or that would have been good when so-and-so was visiting. But we can't do that all the time, unfortunately. This is going to be one of those rare occasions where I was able to just say, you know what, I can about guess the group we're going to have here. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying anything about people who weren't able to make it because legitimately they had difficulty coming. Not at all. But I know that I'm talking to a group of brethren. They weren't looking for an excuse to come, not to come. You're excited, interested. You want to come together and worship God. And I also know I'm talking to a group of brethren that cares about the church. And that you have ideas and you have things that you want and you have concerns. And I wanted to talk a minute about that. I wanted to take a minute and give you all a look behind the curtain. Not that it's ever a secret, but I don't often get to talk to everybody about why I'm doing what I'm doing, the plans that we have for the year, things that I would like to see us be ready for as we enter into 2020. And yes, we just started 2019, but looking ahead, we'll just call this 2020 vision, right? If we want to see ourselves as a church, as individuals somewhere, next year, the fact is the fruit that we'll reap next year will come from things that we're doing now. Whenever I appreciated the prayer that Tom had, whenever we have Bible studies, Whenever someone decides to obey the gospel, it's not going to come today just because I decided I'm going to do something about it. Can that happen sometimes? Yes, but that's not generally how it happens. When it's going to come is it's going to come sometime later on after I've decided today and tomorrow and the next day I'm going to do what it is that I need. So we're going to look at a few things this morning. We're going to look at having a desire or a concern for the works of the church. And then having a concern for the works of the church, what does a plan look like? There's a necessity in planning. And then how we implement that plan. And this is going to rest squarely on your shoulders. And what I mean is, in the man-made denominational sense, I'm not the leader of this church. We don't have any leader of this church but Christ. And someday we'll have elders appointed, and they won't be the leader of the church. They will be men given authority by God to shepherd his flock. And the shepherds shepherd by being a servant to all. And so I'm throwing these things out to you as for your consideration from the Bible, looking at what we're doing for the year. But first, just looking at this. Whenever we look at Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's listed all the suffering that he's gone through because of his faith in Christ. And in listing that, he goes through several terrible things. Shipwreck, that would be a nightmare for many of us. Especially if you can't swim, you wouldn't even want to be in the water like that. But being beaten for Christ. But he says in verse 28, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Jesus was on this earth preaching the gospel of the coming kingdom. He died to establish, to found his church, which was to reveal the manifold wisdom of God to everybody in heavenly places. Whenever we look at Ephesians 3, if Jesus came and died and founded the church looking forward to its coming, and he died for it, and he's risen to be its head to run it, how concerned do you think we should be with the work of the church? So I would want to encourage you that if you don't think regularly, if you don't talk with your spouse or your family, other members of the church regularly about the church, what is it we want to do? What is it what we want to accomplish? Then perhaps our minds are taken up too much on other things. And what happens is when something becomes the focus of our mind, that's where we start putting our energy and our efforts. That's where we start putting our money. That's where we start putting our time, whenever that becomes the focus of our mind. And that's part of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, when he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And the encouragement I would hope to give all of us is to regularly, throughout this year, if you haven't done it already, start now and say, you know what, I need to have a meaningful thought about the well-being of the Lord's church in Berkeley Springs every day. Have conversation with a brother or sister in Christ, with my spouse, with family, about the well-being of the church every day, and think about that. And when you're doing that, what you'll find is you'll start having ideas. Men, we're going to see a little more as the implementation of this. As we're looking, we have to plan. Whenever we have concern for the church, we say, well, what are we going to do about it? And so ask yourself then, what does the church need? What should we do? Now, there's a word that's thrown around and it has a little bit of a negative connotation to it, and that's the word agenda. We hear it politically and we say, well, what's someone's agenda? And often in politics, their agenda is different than what it is they're actually they're showing that they're wanting to do. Well, agenda in and of itself isn't a bad thing. It's what you call the little book that you write what you're going to do in. To have an agenda, if you're going to actually accomplish anything meaningful, is actually necessary. I don't mean having a hidden plan. I mean having a plan that you write out, that you facilitate in whatever means you need, and you do it. In that sense, we all should have the same agenda. There are little details that are different because each of our lives are different. We have different workplaces and different family and different homes, but the foundation of our agenda, that the gospel is taught, that the lost hear the gospel, that they're saved, that the saved are edified and built up, that stays the same. And so our planning then, saying, what do we need for the church? What do we need to do? Isn't going to get caught up in opinions on how we best entertain ourselves, but how the will of God gets done. And so when we're asking in our planning, what is it that we need to do? What we're doing is we're saying, what was God's plan for this? And whenever we look at Luke 14, Jesus warned those who would have followed him without giving much thought to it, that they really needed to make sure they knew what they were getting into. And often we're familiar with this section of verse 26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. But look at what he goes on to say. He gives these illustrations of things that we understand, even if we've never dealt with one of them specifically, we get it. He says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Again, here Jesus is talking about entirely giving the entire focus on being a disciple or a follower of the teachings of Jesus. But I wanted to hone in on the specifics of the illustration. And that is, as he says, when you're planning to follow me, you've got to count the cost. No one follows Jesus accidentally. Think about that. No one follows Jesus accidentally. We've got to make plans to stay on track and to be a follower of his. So when you're taking into consideration, well, what should the church do? How should we function and accomplish what it is that God wants us to? It's not going to happen by accident if we aren't thinking about it as a collective, as the body of Christ here at Berkeley Springs. We need to be thinking together about the work of the church and about what that means for us and being a light to the communities. And then we need to implement that plan and say, okay, now I've got ideas. This is what needs to be done. This is what the church needs in order to grow. By the way, it's not going to be anything that's not in here. The church doesn't need anything new to grow. It might have different clothes on. In other words, whenever somebody at some point might have written on a leather goat skin scroll and sent it to someone else to teach, we might put it online on Facebook or on television. It might look different, but the message is the same, and the gospel has to be preached. So the next question is then, what am I willing to do? We know, and we'll look at this a little more next week, that talk is cheap. That's a saying we have, isn't it? What's it mean? It means you can say anything that you want. It doesn't accomplish anything. You can have the loftiest plans you want to have, and the church can still die. We've seen in our country in the middle of the last century, we went from being one of the fastest growing religions in the world, and now we're on a steady decline since then. What do we do about it? We can lament about it. We can be concerned about it. We can make plans, but until we put them into action, it doesn't do us any good. And it shouldn't surprise us, the psalmist in Psalm 1 said that the righteous man, the one who's walking the righteous way, what does he do? He meditates on God's word day and night. It has to start with the word. It has to start with the word in the hearts of each individual Christian. And when that's happening, the power of God's word will work. There are no 3 hours in the week that are enough to equip you for your life every other day of the week. And I'm not just saying that as an excuse for me. You take any of your favorite preachers and you put them up here, 3 hours a week isn't going to cut it for everybody to be what we need to be for Christ. We need to have the word. We have the reading schedule that we've let out. If you've been enjoying that, that's great. We challenge you to look at the questions, the digging deeper questions that we have. If that's not your kind of reading schedule, that's okay. I hope by any means, or I guess I should say, I hope by no means, whenever we put a reading schedule out, that somebody says, oh, well, I can't do that. That's not for me. Read the Word. Read it with understanding the best you can. And if you don't understand something about it, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch who is truly seeking God, evidently, and Philip said, do you understand what you read? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I understand unless someone teaches me? It's okay to ask. In fact, we're encouraged by God to seek, ask, and knock, aren't we? And so what kind of seeking and asking and knocking are you doing? If you're not doing any, that's certainly something we need to change right away. Because doing that daily and consistently is going to do something to you. Putting the Word of God in your heart that has the ability to cut to the very division between soul and spirit. That's the power of God on this world right now. The power of shaping people's lives and converting someone is the Word. The power of the God to salvation is the Word, the Gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. So that's what we have. If you say, well, I don't know how to use it. I don't know where to begin. You begin by putting it in your heart every day. And then what's going to happen? When you're putting it in your heart every day, you're going to find times in your life, everyday moments in your life, where you can say, oh, I read about something like that. Paul said something like this. Jesus talked about that. And it's going to become easy for you to be able to bring up God in your everyday activities and your everyday life. That's going to help you be more faithful. It's going to help you encourage others as we're looking at it. And so another thing I want to encourage you to do then is, yes, make every worship that you can, everything that the church has scheduled, make it, if at all possible. And you say, well, I'm one of the ones that dug myself out this morning and drove here. And yes, and that's great. But we need to make sure that we don't just check this off of our list and think that that's not it. You make those, and I want to encourage you to participate in them. I'm going to talk in just a minute about the Bible classes and lessons that are coming up and why. Whenever you look at Bible class, I want you to think of something. I heard another speaker talk about this, and it surprised me, and he was right overall. He said, here's a problem with our adult Bible classes. He said, we have expectations for our children's Bible class. And if you've not seen our children's Bible class, you're really missing it. But we have expectations for our children's Bible classes. They have homework. They have things they fill out in class. Even if they're wee little, they've got to scribble colors on something for class. But he says, we don't have any expectations for adult Bible class. And I hope there's a part of you that says, wait, yes we do. But if we're really honest about it, do we make sure that we expect something out of ourselves and out of each other in adult Bible class? Do we expect at least to have to make a mark on a paper about something? Or do our kids do more in Bible class than we do? We need to make sure that doesn't happen. So I'd encourage you to attend Bible classes, attend adult Bible class, adults, and participate in them. I don't mean you have to talk. Some of you say, I'd rather do all kinds of awful things than talk in adult Bible class. That's fine. But what are you doing during the class? What are you doing between classes and participating? Whenever we look at that, we need to make sure. I'm going to try to give you more opportunities to participate in adult Bible class. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But also, try this. If you say, there's no way I can sit down and study the Bible with somebody, what I want to encourage you to do is start, and it's every day, don't try it once and say it didn't work, but every day I want you to be thinking, trying to think of one person that you want to try to sit down and have a Bible study with. And then you say, well, I just said that I don't think I can do a Bible study with someone. Well, we know we have a handful of good men and women here who can. And what I want to encourage you to do is to put one of us in a room with them with a Bible and sit with us and study the Bible with them. If we do that all year, just imagine what could happen. We might not see a thing about it this year, but we'll see some things about it next year and the year after. So what I'm asking you is the brothers and sisters that you might know that you know that can study, can have a Bible study with somebody, or me, you can say, well, I've got this friend or family member, and I said it'd be good for us to study together sometime. I'm not really sure, but I'm sure my preacher would be happy, or I'm sure my brother or sister so-and-so would be happy to sit down. Would you do that with us? I'm not fancy when I set up Bible studies with people. I say, I love to study the Bible. I'd like to sit down and study with you sometime. Would you do that? And sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no. So if you do that every day, it's going to happen that they say yes. And so what I want you to do is get me to say, I'm so sorry, I have so many Bible studies, I cannot. We need to find somebody else to do that. And I think we could. And then by the time you sit with me and study with them for a little while, and I'm telling you all the secrets, okay? So it's not a surprise. I have an agenda. The next time I say, okay, but you're going to do a little more this time. Until you say, you know what, I think I can do this with somebody. So do that. Get us sitting down with people with Bibles, because nobody is going to come to Christ without the gospel. And the gospel is recorded in God's word. And the reason the church is shrinking today, I'm not talking about Berkeley Springs alone, but by and large in the United States, the reason the church is shrinking is because the Bible is not being taught to people. And how do we expect the church to grow if they're not hearing the message, the only message that brings people to Christ, into his church? So bring people here. So here's this year's plan. I gave you, I want us to think about things. I want us to plan things. Bring these to the attention. Men, if you're a faithful Christian man and we have a men's meeting, we ought to be there. And bring your thoughts and plans to the men's meeting about how we accomplish the work of the Lord. And we make a decision the best we can in executing that. So here's what I've done. Bible classes, about three Bible classes I have planned for the year. I've got a book that I'm putting out soon called God's Power and My Part. It's a book about the atonement. And you might say, well, if we need to grow, why are we looking at big words like the atonement? Because the reason we need to recognize that the gospel is essential. No one is saved outside of Christ. And I'm afraid that there's a part in our mind that can accept too easily that maybe if somebody's nice enough, maybe if they're good enough, maybe my neighbor, relative that's a faithful, whatever they are, will be okay. But learning about the atonement, as we're going to look at it in depth through that class, is going to help us recognize how it's essential for us to go and teach the gospel to the world, because there's no way to come back to God without a son. And having learned that, we're going to also look at, and this was an idea suggested to me last year that I thought would fit great into this. We're going to look at the church at Corinth, because the church at Corinth, guess what, had problems. I've never seen a church on this earth without problems. And the saying goes, if there's a church, if there's a perfect church, it's not perfect after I get there. And so we're going to look at Corinth, and we're going to learn from the church at Corinth and how we can be the church that God wants us to be. And finally, we're going to get into this idea of no excuse evangelism. The fact that any excuse that I've had, I need to put it behind me, because I can do this. It might not look like the evangelism someone else does, but I can teach the gospel to others. That's where we're headed Bible class-wise. And in these books, in these Bible classes, will be opportunities for you to study more. You'll have homework or tests. I know those are bad words, but those are expectations we have. And anything we grow in, any school that anybody goes to become a doctor or a lawyer or some other profession, they've got to practice. And we're going to be giving opportunities for practice. And the lessons for the year, I've broken up. You have roughly, in each given month, you have 8 opportunities for preaching on Sunday. One in the morning, one in the evening, right? And so what I've got is, I'm not giving you all of them, by the way. This is a rough outline for the year. And we've been bumped back 2 weeks, so I'm filling up most of my 5th Sundays. And so it's all going to end up working out, but it's roughly going to be this. The characteristics of God, we're going to look at one characteristic of God every 2 months. And looking at those characteristics, we're going to be focusing around those about spiritual characteristics that we should have. We're looking at one of those a month. We're going to be looking at a specific sin in detail once a month. We're going to be looking at family, a specific message about family once a month. By the way, none of these are to say we won't talk about anything else in those, but specifically what they're about. We'll be looking at one lesson on evangelism a month, a lesson on apologetics every other month, Old Testament history we'll be looking at once a month. We'll be having a lesson about encouragement once per month, and we're looking at a psalm a month. That's the plan we've got. And so I say that for you all who, this is the kind of thing you're interested in. If you're like my wife and you like little check boxes, maybe you'll listen for these lessons and you'll say, oh, that was his authority on God lesson for this month, or that was his family lesson this month. Maybe it'd help you that way. But I wanted you to see the direction that we have as we're growing out from looking at the characteristics of God, and therefore how it is that we ought to live, We learn what we shouldn't do, what we should grow in, how we grow together as a family, the hope and promises that we have as we're growing together for God, and we're learning about how His righteous before us have lived faithful in Him. That's the idea. And you know where I got that idea? I got that idea from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. I wrote the words, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." And I said, I need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And how do I need to do that? I need to do it by teaching the word, and the word comes from God. And so this is what I'm doing. I gave you my outline for the year. If you want to take that and you want to make a year of sermons, that would be great. I'd be happy to see it. But in all seriousness, we have to do this together. And I say this to one of our smallest groups of the year because of this. It only takes one person teaching the truth for that person to be doing God's will. If we have 10 saints here who are going to leave this building with the intent in mind that every day they're going to try to do God's will, this congregation will look very different next year and very much different the next year. I want you to imagine this before we close. If each of you said, I'm going to give everything I can to encourage one person to obey the gospel in this year, and say there are only 10 of you did it, well, what would that do next year? And if everybody did it again, and that 20 went on and did it again, 40, and then 80, it takes each of us. And the power of God's word, the plan that He had, is to convert people by the preaching of the gospel. And whenever we say, it doesn't seem very effective, we're saying the same thing that they've said for 2,000 years. But it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached that people would believe and come to the power of salvation through Christ. And so, where are you in that? Have you lacked loyalty and faith in the saving message of the gospel, and maybe you've not kept it in your life like you should? The best thing for you, for your family, it'll make you the best worker, the best spouse you can be, is to be faithful to Christ in all things. It could wear you out at the end of the day, but it's that kind of tired that when you go to bed, you feel good about it. If it's been too long since you've had that, and you want to make sure that you're with Him and you want to be part of this growing group here in Berkeley Springs, you've got a great family here who will pray for you and support you any way you can. If you haven't submitted to the gospel by being baptized to have your sins washed away, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to repent of your sins and confess Him before men, you can do that this morning. We'd be happy to help you anyway. Just let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the invitation song.